And joining us from West Hollywood is Rainey St. Pucci. How are you today?
I'm good. Hello, Ed.
Hello. Is it Rainey or Ronnie? How's the right way to say it?
Well, you know, I'll answer to anything, but actually, it's Ronnie.
Very good. It shall be. Listen, I'm all excited here because I have been following this trend in wedding gowns, believe it or not. A lot of guys don't pay a lot of attention to it. But I'm just kind of a fashion guy as an aside. You know, primarily I'm a news journalist, but I've always been interested in fashion. So when we had this opportunity to speak with you today, very, very interested in this. How would you describe this new trend in wedding gowns, and then tell me your background in this design house? Because I grew up in New York City, so I used to go down the Garment District. My grandfather used to work down there. My mom worked down there. So I've always been around fashion, but I can't wait for you to update us.
Well, you know, I mean, the odd thing, Ed, is, you know, fashion today is anything goes, you know, and I'm more concerned about the nude becoming the new white, because, you know, I mean, I am all for, you know, showing skin, and I was actually the first one many years ago when I introduced a dress that was sheer lace and had only leaves covering, like, just the parts that needed to be covered, and oh my God, you know, I mean, everybody was shocked. They called it the Adam and Eve dress. And that was then. This was like about 7-8 years ago, not too long ago, you know. And my dresses, you know, with the really low necklines, you know, showing cleavage, really brought a lot of angst to the bridal industry, seriously.
But, right, but well, you know, today, I guess, right, you got Grandma sitting there. And Sophie is sitting there, and like, what is going on? I thought this was a wedding. Yet I'm really a believer in the true meaning of the wedding is that these are two lovers about to go off on a honeymoon. So I'm with you all the way. But do tell me how it evolved from when they first saw it years ago, and they did have a lot of angst, to now, because now we are really leading into this much sexier bride image.
Well, it's not just sexy, it's totally porn. I mean, you know, that's how I look at it. Because, I mean, you know, remember, Ed, many years ago when Janet Jackson's halftime show with Justin Timberlake caused this media sensation with a nip slip, right?
Indeed. Indeed, I do.
Okay. Right, but today we see nip slips, sheer butt panels, and no one feels exploited.
Right.
We have changed as a society, and I think that, to me, this trend has run its course. You know, I get it. You have a great body. You want to show it off. And as much as one loves to look at someone's body, it's time to give the naked dress trend a rest, especially in the bridal world, you know.
Good for you. Good for you. So you really are an innovator. You see change before it comes, and you anticipate a change. Oh, this is great, Ronnie. Go ahead. Tell me more.
Well, I mean, you know, there's so much pressure, Ed, for brides to have a perfect body. Just imagine how many people can actually wear a naked dress, a new dress. Not many. And who's making all the money? The plastic surgeons are making tons of money.
You are good. You are so good.
Right?
Now, you know, and I know, a lot of people walk in and want to wear what maybe they are not suited to wear. As you just pointed out, not everybody looks the same in every dress design. So I'm sure you've had moments where you have to be very careful how you choose the words that communicate this to the bride-to-be. Tell me about that. You were a little bit of a diplomat yourself, eh?
Well, you know, I almost am like a therapist. You know, I've done this for 30 years, Ed, and I have become the bride's best friend and the bride's mother's worst enemy, too, sometimes, you know? So because I have to kind of bring them together to have a happy medium. Okay, she wants to show a bit of skin. Mother is kind of horrified, you know. And we say, okay, let's just show this much over here. Let's cover it up to here, you know. And having sheer legs is fine. It's okay, you know. But still, we've got to look at the audience in the wedding. You know, you have parents, you have grandparents, you have children, right. you have friends who attend the wedding. I mean, even you as a bride, you may not feel self-conscious, but there's bound to be many people in that audience who would feel uncomfortable, don't you think?
I completely agree with you. Ronnie St. Pucci is our guest. Starcom Radio Network, AM/FM stations all across America. What a fascinating dialogue we're having with a fashion designer who, as she just told you, has been a diplomat of sorts. Let me ask you this. I'm sure you're going to recognize this scenario. People mm-hmm. will take out their wedding pictures 10, 15 years down the line.
Oh, God. Yes.
And say, I cannot believe what I wore. And the men would be, yeah. oh, look at the crazy tuxedo with big lapels or crazy ties and all this. And when I was a kid, 1978, all of uh-huh. we graduated college that year. All of my friends got married. Boom, boom. But I went to 6 weddings in 1 year. It was incredible. Uh-huh. So when we went back and looked, even in the 80s, we all looked like pastel penguins. The colors were horrible. The hairstyles, horrible. So do you ever, obviously you bear that in mind, but how much can you say to them about, you know, this is a style now, and one day yeah. you're going to want beautiful pictures of this. Be careful not to stylize too severely. I bet that's a delicate message, right?
Well, it is, but you know, I sit them down and I talk about, I start very slowly, I creep up into this, you know. I talk about flowers, I talk about colors, how many people are in your wedding, you know, and what about pictures? You know, who's going to be, doing the photography? Wow, these photographs, they have to look great. Even 10 years, 20 years, 30 years down the road, is this how you want to be remembered? You know?
Now, I'm curious about this. Let me ask you about this. Do you have any examples for them of maybe a nightmare? Say, take a look at this. This gal got married 8-9 years ago. Imagine if you went like that. Do you have any photographs to maybe bring them back to earth and make them understand that this is a long-lasting decision?
Yeah, I do. In fact, I mean, we have albums of albums. You know, Ed, when I started in 1985, the leg of mutton sleeves were big in fashion. You know, those really big
right.
leg of mutton sleeves. Yeah, so, you know, we have photographs and we say, oh, my God, you know, that was the fashion then. But let's go classic. Let's really look at what is classic. And so I try to do that, you know, but very, like you said, diplomatically, you know, because you don't want to rub anybody the wrong way.
Absolutely.
I just feel that real women need real clothes to flatter and empower them in the real world.
Indeed. And you know, I'm sure you've heard lots of theories, and everybody who comes in to see you, I'm sure, has one. But my theory has always been, it is so powerful to dress classically. All yeah. of the classic fashions lend power to the person who wears them, because the absence of trendy shows a great mm-hmm. security in the person.
Yeah.
They're not chasing a magazine cover. They're really mm-hmm. expressing their own feelings. So I think this is a terrific theory. It doesn't always work with people, you know. Let me also mention, because this is a terrific thing about you, I want the audience to know. First of uh-huh. all, you did not have formal training. This is something
no.
you learned on your own through experience. But to go mm-hmm. from self-taught all the way to designing Phoebe's mm-hmm. wedding dress on the show Friends. Oh, my God. My hat is off to you. Show business is a crazy environment. I've been around it all my life. Tell us how mm-hmm. that happened and what you think. What do you think your gift is in developing yourself as a designer and resulting in a great coup for you?
Well, you know, when I came, I was born and raised in Thailand, you know, and my parents have ateliers and showrooms. We are the largest purveyors of fine lace. So anybody, even here in the United States, you went to a Thai restaurant or you met a Thai person and you said, oh, Ronnie Sooks, you know, everybody knows it's an institution. Anyway, so I grew up around that.
Right,
you know, right. And being around fine fabrics, I think that was, that was, that's the root of my where my talent comes from. And of course, you know, I don't do anything else. It really, this is channeled. Everything that we do, every gift that you have, I have, is channeled through us. And I just love beauty, and I love clothes, I love designing, but I am personally classic, you know. I like classic fashion. I like, I, you know, I don't really go for too many trends. I prefer to be where I'm dressing bright, elegantly, you know.
Elegance, I think that, elegance, what a beautiful word. Let's dwell on that word for a moment. Elegance, yes, used to have a very concrete meaning. So what is your definition? Because today, they will take that word and put it onto anything. What is true elegance for an experienced and gifted designer such as yourself?
You know, elegance is starts with self-confidence. It starts with self-confidence, believing in yourself and being comfortable in your body. I think that's the first thing. It's not fashion, it's style. There's a difference between fashion and style. You have to have, you, everybody has a personal style. So I, in this case, I would say showing less skin can be enticing, and having someone wonder what we have on underneath, you know, that little mystery can be as enticing as wearing something that shows everything.
I agree with you. And one of the most horrible things, I think you see it, I see it all the time. I travel the subways in New York City, you know, big crowds, big events. This idea of seeing the outline, that what they used to call the VPL, to see a beautiful outfit and then have this little triangle in the lower back there, or to see, you know, I don't understand that, but remind folks right now, that just distracts from everything. It really spoils a lovely appearance, right? And if you pay attention to it, it doesn't have to happen.
Well, it also sends the wrong message to people that really don't, yeah, I mean, really, for most people, it sends the wrong message. If you are wearing, you know, clothes that are not appropriate, I mean, there's a place, there's a time and a place for everything, and the same thing, you know, happens with nudity, you know. Right. I think it's perfect in the bedroom.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Lovely for the right occasion in the right circumstance. But I think we have seen, right, and certainly in the last 10 years, a lot of just throwing together three ideas or four ideas that somebody prefers, but they don't necessarily complement one another.
No, there is no designer. I mean, seriously, Ed, tell me, can we count designers on the fingers of one hand? There are no designers. Everybody's copying, taking this from here, taking that from there, and putting it all together and thinking, oh, wow, you know, here I have a designer dress, you know? I mean, back to 1985, when I came to from Thailand and I introduced my first collection, every piece in that 16-piece collection was in color. Do you know how horrified people were in the bridal industry? The U.S. bridal industry only accepted white dresses.
Crazy.
I was the first one that brought color to the United States bridal scene.
Well, I'll tell you what, you are a pioneer for sure. So in addition to what you do, you have an upcoming book. And I always admire people who take the time to share with the world what they have as their gift. The book is to be titled Unveiling a Celebrity Fashion Designer's Story. What made you want to write a book?
Well, I actually had to take a sabbatical for 2 years to write this book. It's my memoir. And it's actually my journey through traditions and all, you know, my marriage, my divorce, my, you know, and abuse in life. Like, really, I mean, we're talking about domestic abuse. My entire purpose right now I want to empower women, Ed. I think that women need to be empowered, and it needs to start with themselves, with looking at their bodies and how they dress it. And from there we go. We don't accept any BS from anybody anymore.
Right on. Right on. Now tell me, who was there for you when you were at your toughest times, in your deepest dark moments? What got you through? Was it someone? Was it something? describe that for all of us to understand how you have triumphed over what you've been through.
There was nobody, Ed. Not a single soul. The whole family, all the friends, everybody left.
Wow.
Everybody. And I was alone with my, you know, with the universe, with the power that be, you know. And I went through the dark night of the soul, if you would call it that. And so I'm writing not just this one book, which I've already written, but it's still sitting. I am looking to have it traditionally published. But in the meantime, I am also writing other books on relationships. I write for the Huffington Post, and I am their relationship expert. You know,
oh,
so from
boy.
Bridal designing,
oh,
relationships.
Boy. I'm excited about this now. So I'm going to be able, we all are, going to be able to read you in the Huffington Post on relationships as well. What a beautiful blend. Your fashion entrepreneur and your deep understanding from all these experiences. I can't imagine how many couples, in addition to your own story, you have witnessed and been able to study while you're in their presence. And by the way, I'm looking at a beautiful photograph of it. Looks like your design house with your lovely dresses. And you are fabulous here. You look, you don't look old enough to have a memoir. I will tell you that. You,
oh,
yeah, you are a champion all the way. Let me ask, you are a very hopeful person. Are you a spiritual person?
I am. I feel that's what carries me from day to day, from moment to moment. You know, yes.
I'm not religious. Tell me a little bit about how you got in touch with your spiritual self, especially during your dark times.
Well, you know, I sometimes feel that the reason why one goes through a dark night is to actually connect with the divine. It
wow.
really is,
wow.
because that is the moment that you really know that when everybody deserts you, there is someone up there that, you know, is with you and is really rooting for you and pulling you, you know, yes, you can do it, you know. And that has been my power. And I want to share some of that with the women of this world, with the people of this world, you know. I think we need more love here, don't you think?
All the way. I am 1,000 you are exactly what we need. You know, we hear a great deal about the inequities for women. We hear that women need inspiration. We hear that women need power that they can see in other women to have confidence to go their own way. And I feel that you embody this. You really are an emblem of this. You're an entrepreneur. Oh, by the way, you're in West Hollywood. Is that correct?
I am.
I want to tell you, when I first moved to L.A., I was on KABC Radio, and they put,
oh, are you in L.A., Ed?
Oh, many years. I was on KABC. I was on KLSX. I did the afternoon talk show. I had a ball living out there. I'm back in New York, which is the place of my birth, and I now own my own radio network. But for 30 years, I worked for all the big names, Viacom, Disney, ABC. But what happened to me was, being in West Hollywood, my mother had passed away several years before, but my dad, being a widower, you know, I kind of looked out for him. I'm the only child, and he was a very gregarious fellow, my dad. So he starts running around West Hollywood, and he could not get enough of the diversity of lifestyle. All the different people there. So you are really in a Mesopotamia, if you will, there in California, of creativity and ideas and a self-expression and all of this going on. I bet it is a very rich environment for you.
It is. You know, I mean, look at all the greenery and the weather. I mean, this is great. I love New York. I go there, I mean, you know, at least 3 times a year. For 30 years I've been doing that. I could never live in New York, you know, but I just, there's something about California that I absolutely, it resonates with me, you know?
Right, right. Well, you've become a California girl, right? The old song, California Girl, you're a California girl.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, what a pleasure to meet you on the phone like this. One day, we take the show out on the road twice a year. So next time we're in your area out there in Los Angeles, we will be in contact. But I'd like to stay in touch with you for two reasons on the air. I think certainly we can bounce all of our fashion questions off of you. You can give us a good answer. But your relationship work and your memoir and your journey, I think, are extremely important for women to know, to hear, to understand. And I have to say, congratulations on your enormous success. It is not easy to have one's own designer house. It is certainly not easy to succeed in Los Angeles. As lovely as it is, it's extremely competitive. So I really had such a great time on this visit, but I want you to come back on the show many, many times. And you have got a brand new reader here for your Huffington Post, and we will continue to promote that to everyone. How soon do you think the book will be out? I can't wait to read your book.
Well, I mean, I have actually six books that I'm in the middle of. You know, one is already out. It's called Your Body, Your Style, Addresses to Flatter Your Body Type. So that is kind of a soft launch. It's on Kindle, but the expanded version is going to be out in October. The other book that I'm writing is called Seven Types of Men to Avoid. So
seven.
That was,
you know. Oh, you know, you save the best for last, don't you? That is that's hysterically funny, but that's a great idea. Seven types of men to avoid.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, do you mind mentioning one or two? No, I'm not in there, am I? I don't want. I never want to be on your list. This is great.
Do you have 1 hour to go through this?
No. Oh, you're right. You know what? Next time I'm going to make an hour. Next time you're on the show, I'm going to make an hour for you. I understand we have a lot here. But just mention, who is the number one type of man that women should avoid?
Well, the type that is secretive, you know, like he is a closed book. He doesn't reveal himself, his life, his job, finances, past relationships, addictions. You know, he's a mystery man. I married one, so I should know.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, yeah, I literally had to, and I'm not proud to say this, I had to hire a private investigator to really check on this guy.
Wow. You know,
yeah, because I didn't know very much about him, and he didn't reveal very much, and, you know, and even then, it took me 3 years. It takes 3 years for someone to really get to know the other person. It really does. People are on their best behavior when they are newly married, when they are newly in relationship. It takes that long for their true colors to come out, Ed. So
absolutely.
I am writing this book. I mean, I'm actually really enjoying it because I think there could be 10 types of men, but then we would eliminate the whole male population.
That's right. You don't want to get rid of all of them. We need some of them for now, right? Just for now.
I love men, Ed. I do love men, and I believe in the institution of marriage. I truly believe in the institution of marriage.
Well, God bless you for that, because I have never been married, but I have been a cohabitor, right? I've always had what I thought long-term relationship, and if it finally leads to marriage, that would be nice. But I grew up, as you know, by the age bracket that you can hear in my voice, I'm 60 years old. So I'm a child back in the 60s and the 70s with all of that turbulence. My parents, by the way, were married 50 years. That was, rock solid. So, you know, it not only difficult for women, it is also difficult for men, too, which maybe you've inspired me. Maybe I'll come up with a list of women types that men need to avoid. But I'll tell you what, you are exactly what we need. We need wisdom. We need people who, like yourself, open up your experience and let people learn by you sharing it. Well, this is just a terrific connection we've made here. Well, you know, you're being heard all across America. We're on 40 stations, AM and FM. So I know that we are going to have you back again soon, because this is exactly what we look for in all of our guests. You've got remarkable experience. You've got a terrific need and power of sharing with people. So I thank you so much for today.
Well, thank you so much. And this has been a pleasure. I was told that it's going to be a very difficult interview. I'm like, okay, I'll just be myself then, you know.
That's the word on the street. You know, sometimes when people come on, they are the opposite of you. They are just what you said about the mystery men. You try to ask them a question. I had a fella on yesterday, and he says, oh, I have a great method for this, this, and this. I said, okay, give me an example. He says, well, it's a great idea for this, this, and this. I said, well, can I have an example? And it took, I had to ask him four times to get, so I am an old school journalist. We like to know the who, the what, the where, and the why, and you are a terrific guest. So I'll tell you what, your next appearance, I'm going to make more time available because we have a lot more to discuss, you and I.
Yes, yes. But thank you so much for having me today. It's been such a pleasure.
Same here. Same here. Have a great one now.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. The Mystery Men. See, you're talking about the Mystery Men. So I figured let's play a song about the mystery guy, right? Starcom Radio Network, Ronnie St. Pucci. Go to ronniestpucci.com. Spell out ronniestpucci.com, okay? ronniestpucci.com. Fashion designer, author, relationship expert in the Huffington Post. Oh, we struck gold here today.
No need to ask, he's a smooth operator.
She doesn't like the mystery man. Boy, I cannot wait to get into the men that women should avoid. That'll be our next topic with Ronnie St. Pucci. Again, go to ronniestpucci.com. God, this is one of my old love affairs right here. I was nuts for Sade. When I saw Sade on Saturday Night Live, I fell in love.
Face to face, bitch, I say.